A few days before continuing my journey from India to Iran, I went to a company of trade ships. In the British Raj's office, I asked for a fine room in the ship, and the head of the company said, "Choose whatever room you want. Except for you, there's no other sailor in first class." Some days after coming to the ship, I realized I was indeed the only traveler on this ship, and I could go anywhere I wanted. Nobody wanted to travel on the Oman Sea, and besides, there was no one that could accept the danger of traveling in this season on the Persian Gulf. Even the true sailors can barely protect themselves against such waves. There are a bunch of flies in the ship's rooms too, which annoy everyone on the ship. The weather is constantly wet, and I'm struggling to barely breathe. The ship's name is Ashur. On the 20th of January, our ship left Muscat, and despite the pleasing and peaceful atmosphere of the night, the heat was still galling. At midnight, the thermometer was still showing 39 degrees. But at long last, we passed through the Hormuz Strait. The Persian Gulf is a historical sea. I remembered that in 325 BC, Nicias, Alexander's admiral, sailed from the mouth of the Sindh to the mouth of the Tigris. After this, the Greeks and Romans and Iranians fought against people of Barsu for ownership of the sea. After that, the Arabs and the Portuguese fought. After that, Dutch, but victory was for Britain, the Englishmen in the early 19th century, and they cleared this sea from the Omani pirates. On the 24th of January, we arrived to Bushehr. The coastal city of Bushehr now is in chaos. The Iranian government tried with the help of the Englishmen to implement strict lockdown regulations, but the people closed the bazaar and, in mosques, gathered to rebel. In these kind of journeys, people can see special phenomena which are specific to certain lands. I read before about this in books, but now I'm seeing it with my own eyes. There was water of a lake in the distance, so calm, and I could clearly see trees. I looked on the map of Iran, but there wasn't any lake in that place. So I asked my servant, and he answered, "There is no lake. That was a mirage." There is a problem with the soldiers in Shiraz. Not only the riflemen are not reliable or responsible and cannot protect anyone, but they regularly ask for gratuity. With such behaviour and lack of discipline, I can't use the venerable word soldier for them. I think nobility, responsibility, loyalty to the emperor, patriotism, gratitude to serve the country, lack of corruption and ignoring wealth are virtues which make Japanese soldiers and gunners different from other countries. One of the most incredible things in Iran is the shoe, which is comfortable and durable at the same time. There are layers in place of toes, and the heel of the shoe is sewn, and then there is a hard insole under it. They call give. The Japanese shoe is made of cotton, and in a 5-day journey such as this one, would be destroyed easily. There are two ways to travel in Iran, caravan and chapar. On a caravan journey, the traveller has a tent, bed, and the other things necessary for travel. So a caravan is significantly easier and comfortable in comparison to the chapar, but a traveller has to spend more money and time to travel. Travellers by caravan can wait and stay wherever they want, for example along a river, and give water to horses, or freely stand upon Persepolis and Pasargad to imagine the royal and noble lives of the great heroes of history, such as Kurosh, Dariush, and Kashaya Shah. This is the travel way of a daimyo. On the other hand, there is the chapar, or speedy, which I chose. This way of travel is hard and painful, just like hikiyaku men. On the 20th of August, we arrived at a hillside, and finally could see Persepolis. The site was small, the columns were like wooden flagsticks in local matsuris, The column heads of the halls, stair carvings, cornices, friezes, tombs of the emperors. No, description of such majesty could do no justice to it. This was the remains of a grand palace that held the destructive thunder of Alexander. Eventually, we turned right and saw in the distance a little Fuji between four other mountains. During this entire trip, I saw nothing natural to compare to the glory of Damavand that seemed like a second Fuji. The sun was setting and the sky was in twilight. Seeing this view in the vast plain was unbelievable. Why didn't I bring my camera? Izatkast is one of the strangest places in the world that people live. The town is on a lone mountain in the heart of a plain. There is only one way to the town. The muddy houses have floors, and it seems that they're all in one stronghold. It's like the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. On the 14th of September, I met Atabag Azam Amin al-Sultan. His Imperial Highness gladly and hopefully wished for friendly trade between our two sublime countries and subjects. He asked how was the General Fukushima Yasumasa, who met him 3 years ago. The power of the Shah is absolute, and he is the owner of all life and wealth. He is the main statesman of Iran, and if I remember correctly, he is 47. How young to be dealing with all the politics and administer the realm. Though his hair was white, he appeared a wise and reasonable man, but his body was weak and tired. The great ambassador of Britain said the Shah doesn't really rule at all. The real law is religious law, and the true power is with the imams. The people of Iran do not let foreigners see their way of life and family traditions. I only saw half of the people of Iran. Upper and lower class women cannot meet with strangers. I heard by the law men can have 4 wives and over, and that it depends how wealthy they are if they can have unofficial and temporary wives. Wives are always in the house with the husbands and can only speak with female guests. I wonder how Iranian women pass their time and what is their joy in life. Iranian food is delicious. The main foods are made from meat, bread, vegetable, and fruit. And recently they started drinking whiskey and champagne along with beer, which is deemed a symbol of modernism. They love to hunt, ride, and shoot. In recent years, people have travelled from Tehran to Qazvin by Doroshke, and there aren't chapars anymore. So inevitably, despite how expensive it was, I chose Doroshke, because I had to arrive in Asia Minor. We rode day and night, because the horse wasn't a great walker, and multiple times the rider waited and whipped the horse or pushed the Doroshke to force the poor horse to move. The road was even worse than the road to Tehran, and it didn't even have one natural wonder. Recently, a private Russian transport company made a new road for the Doroshke, which is still under construction, and it seems there was a collusion between the two. Because I was in a hurry, I ended up paying double at least. I stayed in the Hotel Qazvin, which belongs to the Qazvin government. When I awoke the next morning, I saw a rusty old Doroshke, but I didn't complain. Yet after just 2 British miles, the Doroshke broke. It was the first time I saw a vehicle in Iran break. The rider went back to Qazvin to fetch another Doroshke, so I sent my servant with him and stayed in the road alone with all my possessions. The dust blew in my eyes and the sun was shining in the clear blue sky. Passing travellers who saw me on the road, a foreigner alone with all my things, laughed and humiliated me. And the new Doroshke wasn't any good either. It was like the Entaro carriage between Kiyobashi Road to Asukasa. Every minute on it was agony. According to the travel contract, I should pay after arriving at Rasht, but the rider stopped before the Alborz Mountains and said he wanted his money now and more. Well, I'm sure my servant would have protected me, but the heat was growing and the rider had a gun with him, so I agreed again. In the mist on the mountains, one of the horses with all of my clothes and some other stuff was lost, but after that, the road was glorious and lovely, and the further we went, the greener it became. There was a steamship in the Anzali port, and on the other side were the Persian realms of the Russian Empire, and after that, I'll finally arrive at the Ottoman Empire. My time in Iran had been a test of my patience, both physically and mentally, and immediately I fell fast asleep on the deck, like a dead man